A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
All right, welcome into another Jazz Notes podcast. My name is Cleon Wall, the sick man, Alex Keery, joining me today.
Yeah, it's getting better, though.
Is it really?
Voice is getting better. I feel like I feel a lot better than I'm actually probably sounding. So pay no attention to the nasally drone that you hear the rest of the podcast.
Very good. Hey, the reason why I wanted Alex on is because he's sick. No, the reason why I wanted Alex on is I think the last time we talked on the Jazz Notes podcast. By the way, the Utah Jazz won Sunday night, 125-111 over the Minnesota Timberwolves. They've now won 9 of their past 10 games after hitting the midpoint mark of the season at, I believe they were 20-21. They are now 29-22. Since then, Alex was still like, well, I've been waiting all season to find out if this team is going to be any good or not. We said, hey, don't worry. They're going to get better when they play crappier teams. Lo and behold, they played crappier teams. They played some good teams, too.
Yeah.
But they played some crappier teams, and they're better. So are you jumping on the bandwagon here, Alex?
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is that I've been amazed by who has stepped up. I mean, you shouldn't be surprised. But I think the level that Donovan Mitchell stepped up, I think about, like, basically now every game he's good for 27. I mean, that's really what we've seen over that stretch of these 10 or 11 games. And that's with people being injured over that stretch, too. Ricky Rubio came back, what, 4 games ago, and you know, it's been nice to have him back because he does see the floor and get those assists out. But you've also seen since then, since Ricky's return, a career high in assists one night for Donovan Mitchell when he had 24 points and 11 rebounds against the Timberwolves when they were here in Salt Lake on Friday. And then you've just seen him just pouring it in. And everybody else is showing up too. The thing that was impressive about this game last night against Minnesota, or on Sunday night against Minnesota, was the fact that there were 7 guys in double figures. You had so many guys chipping in, and that's the part that I'm coming around on. It's that I know Rudy's amazing. I know he's all-star level. I don't know if he'll still be named an all-star. All the experts are saying yes, but Donovan Mitchell is probably the team's MVP, and he's an all-star caliber guy right now. Over the last 12 games, he's been an all-star caliber guy, because he's scoring those 27.5 to 28 points a game over that stretch of 10 games.
And we've talked about it also on the Jazz Notes podcast in the past, that he doesn't always start out well, but he sure seems
no.
to finish well. I mean, he started out terribly shooting last night.
He had 22 points in the second half.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy.
Exactly.
So, I look, and that's what great players do. They come back and they do that extra something. And I look at his stat line every night, and this is one of those games that I actually got to watch the full game. It wasn't like our other radio show was going during the game, which sometimes is nice because it doesn't get me as involved. I don't get crazy. When I watched the Jazz against the Portland Trailblazers last Monday, when they their only game that they lost out of those 10 games, it was so infuriating to watch because what they were trying to do was not working. And somebody was playing better than Rudy Gobert. But even against the Denver Nuggets, when Nikola Jokic outplayed Rudy Gobert times two, literally in every category, he doubled him up in points, in rebounds, and in assists. But it didn't matter because the rest of the Jazz showed up. Donovan Mitchell showed up, and you're going to win. And that's the second best team in the West. So redemption up in Portland, hopefully this week when they go up there and try to get a win. Because I can't stand that Portland Trailblazer team. No offense to you and your Oregon roots, but
Nikola
Jokic was like, he's pulling like this Enes Kanter guard, like trash talking, and like he's not at that level where he should be trash talking that much.
I'm talking about Nurkic.
But that's what I'm saying is that he's not Jokic,
right?
But he's like, oh, we have similar sounding names. He is not that level, but he's trash talking more than anybody else. So, but you see too, the Jazz are getting under people's skin. It's like every game somebody's going to get tossed or teched in the last few games. It's been nice to see the Jazz going after everybody.
It's nice to see that you finally come around to the Utah Jazz.
I know that they were. We knew that they were good. It was just.
How good are they?
I was sick of seeing it go back and forth about, you know, oh, no, now they're going to be good. No, now they're going to be good. No, now they're going to. And they have been over this stretch. And I just think this is a perfect time for Coach Quinn Snyder to say, buckle up and let's just keep doing this. And you're going to see them rocket up those standings, I think. Hopefully past the Rockets. But I think they're going to go up those standings even more. And look, a team like Houston, I don't think stands a chance against a team like Utah.
Really?
I don't care how good. I mean, they've gotten worse as a team. Last year, they were a better team. And James Harden scoring all these points, all it's done for them in the last 10 games is won them five out of those 10 games. It's not a great system for them. So I like their chances against pretty much anybody in the West except for the Golden State Warriors.
Interesting. I was going to actually talk to you about that. You just mentioned that the Jazz are going to be playing the Blazers coming up on Wednesday. Let's just mention the three teams that are ahead of them in the Northwest Division. You can talk about the division anyone.
The Northwest Division.
Yeah, well, that's
no
still,
one cares about.
There's only one team actually in the Northwest in this whole entire division. That's what's stupid about it. But they have the Blazers, the Thunder, and the Nuggets right now.
Uh-huh.
You talked about how they beat the Nuggets the other night. It's going to be exciting because they get to play the Nuggets two more times. The Blazers, though, this is their last game against the Blazers, and then they're going to play the Thunder here in the future. So are the Jazz better than any of those three teams, or you think they're about right on par with all those three teams? Because right now, that division is probably the best in the NBA when it comes to competition.
Right. Previous to this game against Portland on, you know, last Monday, they had beaten them by 25-plus points in those previous two games. The Jazz had beaten Portland. So they're 2-1 against them on the season. And I think that, you know, if they go 3-1 against them on the year, they'll kind of prove that that team is not as good as the Jazz. Oklahoma City, I think, even though the Jazz beat them last year in the playoffs, and even though, I think Paul George and Russell Westbrook – still kind of get under the Jazz skin a little bit in the sense that it seems like a mental thing for them. I mean, it's still a really good team. I watched them last night kind of break down, you know, I watched them last night absolutely blow up the Milwaukee Bucks. And I was thinking, that's a really good basketball team. So, you know, in my mind, yeah, I think that they're going to be – I think that they're better than everybody except for the Oklahoma City Thunder right now. The Nuggets, well, are they in the same division?
Yeah.
The Nuggets, their first loss in the whole division was against the Jazz last week. So I still am not convinced. I think the Jazz are surging, and they're kind of plateauing a little bit. So I think they could be better than any of those teams.
I think that's the thing. That's where I am, too. I don't mean to completely agree with you, but I just want to see more from the Nuggets. That's what's going to happen, that the Denver Nuggets are going to actually get over the hump. The thing that worries me most about Oklahoma City, Alex, that would probably be that they have two good stars. Now, granted, Russell Westbrook's not playing like he usually does.
Yeah,
no,
but Paul
maybe
George.
Kansas, but Paul George is like a superstar
out of
right
his mind.
Now.
Yeah. And Nerlens Noel last night, I mean, that guy is like kind of this weird X factor that just plays really, really good defense. A la kind of Clint Capella from the Houston Rockets, where it's like, this guy, you don't hear a lot from him right now, but he'll get under your skin, and he might even be able to push Rudy around a little bit under the hoop. But I don't know. It's yet to be seen. I mean, it doesn't really matter, like, your division record.
No, but those are the three teams that you're going to play against the most. So
yeah, and they're going to be – and really, if the playoffs were to start today, they'd be playing against Denver in the playoffs. And I kind of like that
fun.
Matchup.
Yeah,
I kind of like that matchup. And ESPN talked about it the other night. And I think that would be a really good matchup. And It's two teams that are very, very close to one another. It's an hour flight, you know, between the two, and that's a fun matchup to watch. But I think that they really could take on any team right now. And on any given night, they'd probably, even against some of the best teams in the league, they'd probably split the series, you know. It'd go seven games with anybody except for the Nuggets. I mean, except for the Warriors. Yeah,
well, the Warriors are on in another stratosphere right now when it comes to that. On the day, we are recording this on Monday, by the way, on the day that Anthony Davis says, I want out of New Orleans, I'm not coming to ask Alex Carey, hey, should the Jazz try to get Anthony Davis? I'm sure they're going to call and say, hey, what are you looking for?
I don't know what
but
the
– I don't think no that's going to happen. No.
Well, Scott Mitchell always likes to say, the Jazz are just one Kevin Durant away from a world championship. And I'm like, everybody is. But Anthony Davis is an interesting piece to anybody's puzzle. Now, here's the thing. When a player is like, I want out of your organization, I always have a problem with that. I don't know if it's them. I don't know if it's this thing about just like kind of whining and not wanting to be a part of an organization. So you wonder about that. Now, we know how good Anthony Davis is. I mean, he goes for 29 a night, you know, and this guy scores a ton. So what does that do? Does that mean, do you still start, is he a power forward and Rudy's your five? And then there's not even asking the question of who do you give up or where everybody goes for this, but because you would have to be like a Jay Crowder and a Ricky Rubio and, you know, and a draft pick or a first-round draft pick or something like that, or even a couple of first-rounders and a nice piece of that puzzle. And I don't know if you want to shake the nest like that right now. And frankly, a guy like Anthony Davis is looking around and he's wanting to see what big market he can go to, what big star he could line up with. And the Jazz have really great players, but they don't have a LeBron. They don't have the New York skyline. And, you know, it's all
the
trappings.
What about Donovan Mitchell? I mean, come on.
I agree. No, if he looked at it, he would know. I mean, look, the Jazz have owned New Orleans over the last couple of seasons. And so, you know, he could probably look and go, man, that's a pretty good team. But most guys just are not attracted to Salt Lake City, and that's how we like it. Right, it's like we have this little chip on our shoulder.
So you may have answered my second question, and that is the trade deadline's coming up in a little over a week. Should the Jazz buy, sell, stand pat?
You know, I don't know. Dennis Lindsay's always interesting because they do things. They try to move things around. But, you know, the Jazz aren't looking for a quick fix in any of this, right? I mean, the closest you get is Kyle Korver, where you go, hey, we're going to sign this guy up. But he's just already a fit because he's been here before. His family likes it here. He wanted a more stable kind of city like that. Did not want to be in Cleveland. And so the quick fixes are never what the Jazz want, I don't think. And finding a long-term piece of that puzzle, really difficult. So throwing somebody in the middle of the season is kind of a gamble, especially when you're finding some sort of a rhythm. So unless you get a guy like Anthony Davis and convince him, he goes, I want to be a part of this Jazz team because you got the best defender over here and I'm going to just pour in buckets every night and we have this superstar over here. I mean, the Jazz would immediately be a contender. And they're already up there. They're a Western Conference semifinal team right now, as it is, I think, if they play like they've been playing. But they're playing against the Golden State Warriors if they had a guy like Anthony Davis.
So the three names that have kind of been banned, these are just three of the names that have been bandied about here. Would you trade for Otto Porter, Washington Wizards? Personally, no, I wouldn't.
No.
Big contract. He's a 3-and-D guy, but he really can't create his own shot.
No.
He'd be interesting, but, yeah, I mean, his contract's huge for the next two seasons.
Yeah, and anytime you have to try to explain how good they are on defense, it's hard for somebody to get to come along, you know, to say, yeah, I want this guy on the team. But, you don't want to take on a contract like that either. I mean, that's a lot of money.
And if that's not big enough, then you've got Mike Conley, who makes even more money, makes over $30 million a year.
What?
I would not want him, not because I don't like him. I love Mike Conley. I think he's a good player. But everything behind it, it's not that in theory, I'd love to see him on the team just to see how he would work with Donovan Mitchell. But on the other hand, here's what I don't like. I don't like that he makes over $30 million a year for the next, I think it's 2 or 3 years.
Oh, my goodness.
He's already age 31. And you'd have a small backcourt. I mean, he's like 6'1", 6'2".
Yeah.
And then you have Donovan Mitchell. He's like 6'2", 6'3". Yeah, that's why I don't want to see the Jazz try and trade for Mike Conley.
Yeah. No, your issue is not a backcourt thing right now. I mean, you do have some injuries, so maybe you want to add somebody. But if you do, it's somebody that's a solid backup to Ricky Rubio, I think, right now.
Okay.
So taking on $30 million, no one's worth $30 million right now.
No.
Unless it's LeBron or Anthony Davis. Those are the superstar kind of names that are worth $30 million. Gordon Hayward makes $30 million. He is not worth $30 million a year.
The other guy that I've heard, and this is nothing locally here, it's just people keep throwing him out because the Knicks are trying to get way under the salary cap to try and go after a big free agent this next year, and that's Tim Hardaway Jr. I think, again, in theory, I'd like to see how it goes, but I don't know if I'd want to trade for him. I mean, he's like a second or a third banana. He's not a great shooter. He's got a decently high contract, around $17, $18 million a year the next couple of years. But in reality, right now, I mean, if you're not trading Ricky Rubio, you're probably bringing him off the bench. Look, you're going to bring a $17, $18 million player off the bench right now?
Go on the cheap. If you're going to do that, if you want a smaller backcourt guy to back up the point guard, just go after Raymond Felton, man. Get that guy get in there.
No.
Take him away from Oklahoma City.
No, but he's hardly even playing right now.
But listen, he looks like a guy that's in those and one videos, just like a little bit chubbier than usual. He's like shorter, but he comes in, and for some reason, he can ball sometimes. So, no. Just save some money. Get this team together. Get Howell Neto healthy. Get Dante Exum back, and you're probably just as good as everybody else right now.
Alex Keery saying stand pat for the Utah Jazz right now, not make a trade. Here's a guy I'd love to see them make a trade for because of Anthony Davis. I kind of like Drew Holiday. Now, I'm not saying that the Pelicans are on the all-out sell mode right now, but he'd be kind of nice next to Donovan Mitchell. I think you've got two defensive-minded guys who can both get to the basket, and I think Drew Holiday actually wouldn't mind living in Salt Lake City either.
Best spelling of Drew of all time. J-R-U-E. Drew.
And that's why the Utah Jazz
needs to fit in as a Utah name, for sure.
Yeah, why not? Hey, oh, last thing before we go here on the Jazz Notes podcast. By the way, thanks for listening, downloading, subscribing. Let us know what you think about the Jazz Notes podcast. Who you got in the Super Bowl?
Oh, you know my oldest son is a big Patriots fan, bandwagoner.
Ah.
And I'm not, because I grew up a Seattle Seahawks fan, and he flipped around the time that Malcolm Butler had that pick. He was on a flag football team that were the Patriots. And he said, I hate the Patriots. And then they started winning as a team, and so suddenly he's a big Patriots fan. Now he wears his Tom Brady jersey around, and he's got his Patriots hat and his jacket on. And so I'm rooting against my son and against the Patriots.
You're coming to my side.
I don't like your Rams either, because it's a weird thing for me to cheer for the Rams in the NFC West, but I just, I don't know. The Patriots, to me, I just can't get on board with Belichick. I can't get on board with that organization. I love KVN. I love Kavanoy. Awesome. Hope that he has a lot of success. But, man, what a cruddy Super Bowl.
Oh, come on now. You're telling that to me right here in my face.
Right in your face.
A cruddy Super Bowl.
Right in your face.
Whatever. Okay.
But kind of go Rams.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Kind of go Rams.
Kind of go Rams.
Wow. Thanks a lot. Alex
Keery. I'm as excited about the Super Bowl as I was about the Pro Bowl yesterday.
Wow. Okay.
Just a football game that's going on.
Did you even watch
it? While
I'm
eating in the back.
Oh,
no.
I was going to say, I didn't even turn the TV on.
No,
I'm like, I don't care.
We TiVo'd it. We went skipped through a little bit later just to watch Jason Witten break the Pro Bowl trophy afterward. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
He handed the trophy to Patrick Mahomes and he broke it.
Oh.
In the presentation.
My goodness.
The best thing that happened in the whole deal.
He is Alex Keery. Listen to him every weeknight on Unrivaled on KSL News Radio. Of course, he's just Mr. Everything here at KSL News Radio. So thanks to him for joining us here on the Jazz Notes podcast. I'm Cleon Wall. We'll talk to you soon.